want to be too quick, but I don't want to talk myself out of getting up either. Praise the Lord for his spirit here this morning. The words to these songs that are coming forth. The Lord, may he give us the heart to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church this morning. Thought about the words to that song. The last one they sang, he's coming forth to set his people free. Well, some people think that, and this was me, he's coming forth. He's coming back one day, and that is true. But he's here now to set us free. We don't have to live in the bondage and the chains that have been talked about in the last few services. And in the other song, for in him is the life that destroys sin and death. And he broke every chain for the bound and oppressed. When he was on that cross, he broke every chain for us. We don't have to live on this earth in bondage and in strongholds. And the Lord, he showed me earlier this week an illustration of someone who's in prison under a life sentence. And that there's three options you can get out of that life sentence with. The first one, you can live out the whole life sentence in the chains, in the devil's prison, and you can just die. And if you have salvation, you're going to go be with the Lord. But the Lord wants us to be a free people here, like it's been brought forth. The second option is that you can try to escape on your own. You can bust out of the prison cell, try in yourself, check all the boxes, do all the religious things. But when you get out, the guards are going to come for you. Those spirits, that oppression that you've tried to get away from, they're coming back for you if Christ isn't filled. And the third option, praise God, Jesus Christ can pardon you from that life sentence here on this earth in prison. He wants to do that for everyone here. Lord, give us a heart, Lord, this morning to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church in this day, Lord. Lord, we believe we're in a late hour, Lord, and I believe you want to set your people free this morning and in the coming days, God. I know you will, Lord. You've done it in my life, God. Lord, give me the words to say this morning that it's not myself, Lord, but that your Spirit would speak through me. I'm so unworthy to be up here, Lord, but by your grace and mercy, I can't. And I just turn myself over to your Spirit, Lord. Guide me this morning, Lord. I want to share my deliverance testimony. I was able to share with the elders and deacons earlier, a few weeks ago. And I had to write it down because sometimes I'll sit down and I'll say, man, I forgot to say that. And the Lord had put it on my heart. So I did write some of it down. I don't want to get in a form to read it verbatim. But I want the Lord to speak it out, not me. It might take a while. If y'all want to come sit down, you're welcome to. But I'll start my testimony with this. Jesus Christ is the only hero in this story. I tried in myself, but he is the one who brought deliverance to me. Up until August of 2022, last year, I was in the devil's prison. I was in chains and in bondage. And Kendall told me recently that she was praying every day that the Lord would reveal what was happening in her home, why there was so much strife and arguing, problems in our marriage, disobedience from our children. I'll tell you, the Lord, he answers prayer. I couldn't be standing here today if it weren't for those prayers. And I know there was others praying too. But the Lord, in only a way he could do, answered those prayers. And in such a powerful way over the past year, he's taken the blinders off, the spiritual blinders, and I can see the battle that we're in this world. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and evil in this world. Our oldest son, Ryder, was having a lot of tormenting, demonic is what it was, dreams, almost every night in the summer of 2022. He would wake up saying he was seeing stuff in his room, and it was the devil. I mean, maybe not the actual devil, but that was what's putting those thoughts in his mind. He would had a hard time with it. We couldn't really wake him out of it. And he was really fearful to be left alone in his room, even for just a moment. And I also suffered from that same type of attack and bondage as a child. And even into adulthood, and I know my brother has testified, he's had the same kind of nightmares. I mean, call them nightmares, but it's actually a spirit that is behind this, and that's what Phil has been bringing forth recently. But there's hope. The story doesn't end here. Kendall recognized that it was a spiritual battle, and we came against it several times with prayer, but nothing really changed. The bad dreams kept happening, the strife in our home. And once, in the middle of the night, my son, he had just went back to sleep after having one of those dreams, and I tried to tell the unclean spirit to leave, because I read the scripture, and it says we have the authority to tell him to leave, and we do. But when I did, that the spirit, this stuff is real, but the spirit sat up, and it wasn't him, it was the spirit, sat up and kind of just smirked and laughed, and it was like, almost as if saying, what authority do you have? And that was frightening for me. And when this happened, it reminded me of the sons of Sceva in Acts 19:15, who tried to cast out the unclean spirit. And they said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then attacked them all. Finally, after going through this battle for quite some time, I called a close friend and a brother in Christ, and I explained what was going on. And he said he felt the Spirit speak to him, and as we were talking on the phone, and say that I needed to repent and renounce the area where I've opened the door to the enemy. And I needed to stop the willful sin in my life. And that's a lot easier said than done. But with Christ, it's easy. If we can see that, if we can see the power that he has to pull down strongholds. So he said that I'd basically given legal access, so to speak, for the devil to torment my children. And I knew that was the Lord speaking to me. I knew I needed to change, but I didn't know how. I felt as though I had tried everything in myself to escape the devil's prison. Like I said, I did for a short amount of time. I was able to be free from this thing a few years back. But the devil, he came back in, and the Lord revealed to me that it's because I was trying it myself. I was trying to check all the boxes, read the scriptures more, come to church more, etc. But we can't do it in ourselves. We need the Savior to come in for us. Thank God we have that Savior. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb that frees and cleanses us from all sin and shame. Kendall and I, we watched a sermon around that same time about a demonic oppression and how to be delivered from it. At the end of the video, the live video, the minister prayed over everyone, some for specific needs one-on-one, and then over everyone in general, and explained we should renounce the areas where we willingly or unknowingly, as Phil has mentioned, generational bloodline curses, where there's been problems in our bloodline with addictions and et cetera, but where we open the door to the devil. And what I appreciated in the sermon was that Christ was the center. Christ was, he is the only one that can do this work. Though he was using a vessel that he anointed to do so, Christ was the one that was going to do the power. He has the power. So we both renounced areas where the door had been opened to the devil, and we prayed, trusting that the Lord would deliver our family. Kendall prayed for shoulder healing at that same time, as her shoulder had hurt her for many years due to a ski accident that happened when she was a teenager. In the weeks to follow, she realized that she was healed from that pain. She had it every day. The Lord, he touched her. And he still, the hope of anything is coming forth is that the Lord still has this power today. The Lord wants to move in power in this church. We don't have to go watch a video. I mean, the Lord delivered me like that, but the Lord wants to use gifts of the Spirit in this church, gifts of healing. He wants to deliver people that are sitting here. And without having to go out and find it, the Lord's going to bring it here. I believe that he will. Let that be our heart. Let that be our prayer. Praise the Lord. The Lord is still in the healing and delivering business. I appreciate Jonathan this morning. The Lord gave you that on your heart to. And it helped me too, because I've been fighting getting up here. But Jonathan, stay encouraged, brother. He's going to do that work. In some cases, the Lord can just heal you if you ask, you know. But in some cases, he uses vessels or gifts, as this morning where the elders prayed over Jonathan there. I went to bed that night after watching this video, trusting the Lord could do what I ask, and nothing happened to me as I'm watching the video. But that in the middle of the night, it's hard to talk about. But the Lord, I hope the Lord gets all the glory. In the middle of the night, I felt his presence come to me like never before. And I felt like literal chains were being broken off of me one by one. I knew that the Lord was there in my room and that he was freeing me from a life of sin, a life of immorality. I could name it all, but I don't think that's necessary. The problem was I was in chains. I was in bondage by the enemy, and I couldn't get out without Christ. Even though my body was asleep at that time, I felt such a peace and freedom like never before. I woke up feeling made new and cleansed, praising the Lord. It was explained to us in that sermon that we watched as though we try on ourselves, as I did for many years, and even ask God sometimes to be delivered. Sometimes it's going to take a step of faith. It's going to take more than just asking one time, or you think about David and Goliath. Like, he had to take that step of faith. He didn't just stand back over here and say, "Lord, take down Goliath." He got the stones that the Lord showed him, and he put them in the slingshot. The Lord took him down, but David had to take that step of faith. But the Lord, he has the power to break the yoke and the bondage. And Isaiah 10:27 talks about the anointing breaks the yoke, breaks the bondage. The process of renouncing, that was a new thing for me. But the Lord used this to deliver me from a 15-year addiction. There's no other way to explain it except that it was the Lord. I know not everyone's going to have that same experience as far as how it's brought about, but I know the Lord will reveal that to you if you have a heart toward him, if you seek him for it. I thank the Lord every day for setting me free from the devil's prison, and he gets all the glory and praise. He's worthy. I'm unworthy, but he is worthy. Several days went by, and I was finally able to share with Kendall for the first time that I had been in bondage for 15 years, and I had an addiction that started from playing with sin when I was a teenager. Even though I believe that the Lord saved me at an earlier age, I think I was around 15, I was still in bondage. The devil, he found a weak area, as he does with us, with everyone, and that stronghold started. He had a leash on me, so to speak, and I couldn't get out without God's power. And when I had that encounter with God's power, that's when the chains broke. I would fall into sin repeatedly. It got so bad, I would say, "Well, this is just who I am. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me." And I know he did forgive me, but I would even think, "This must be my thorn in the flesh," as Paul speaks about. And then I would just turn around, fall right back into the devil's trap again. But after the Lord's presence met with me that night, I no longer have a desire to engage in the addiction and the sin that held me captive for those 15 years. That was August 13th, 2022, a day I'll never forget. And I knew then, and I still know, that the Lord set me free. He cut those chains. He forgave me for the sins I had committed. They are washed in Jesus' blood. They will never be remembered again. The only reason I'm bringing it up here is so others can be helped, and I hope the Lord's Spirit is coming across like that. I want to be sitting back there right now listening, but I want to follow what the Spirit's telling me to do as well. Those sins won't be counted against me because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Thank God for the cross. I still have thoughts and temptations occasionally, but I'm able to point the devil to the cross, and I know I've overcome by what Christ did. As Phyllis said recently, we died there with Christ. When he was buried, we were buried if we put our trust in him. When he resurrected, we were resurrected then. We don't have to wait until he comes back. We don't have to wait until we die. We were resurrected to the new life when he resurrected. Let's claim that this morning. The sinful desires and addiction I had is now completely gone. Nothing could explain that except God's power that is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. After confessing my sin to Kendall, we were both able to join together and come against the spirit that was tormenting our son through the demonic dreams and the fear of darkness and command it to leave in Jesus' name. And the spirit did leave him. Ever since that night, he's been set free from those dreams. Praise God. He's no longer afraid of the dark. And that seems like maybe a small thing, but the Lord can do small things. He can do the bigger ones like he did in my life. For us, that wasn't a small thing. Every night having to battle. But the Lord, he broke those chains in his life too. But isn't that a spiritual, you can look at that spiritually. We are born into this life as my son was born after me. And the sins that I had committed were basically allowed, the devil was allowed to come in that door, torment him as well. But if you think about Adam and Eve, we're born under them, their sins. And we, that's why the devil has access to us, because of those sins. But the greatest news is there's hope in Christ. The Lord has equipped the body of Christ with weapons that can take down strongholds, set the captive free, heal the sick. But first, there might be some areas that we need to look back in history, dig a little deeper into our past, and renounce and shut the door that we or someone in our bloodline has opened, allowing the devil to have access to us. I know that we can never be fully sin-free in these earthly bodies. We're still going to have thoughts. But, and I hope I'm not coming across like that, but because in John, 1 John 1:8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But don't let the devil lie to you this morning, as he did with me for so many years, and make you think that living in and playing with sin is normal for us as believers. Thank God for the cross. Thank God that we can come boldly to him. Our sins will be forgiven. But don't let the devil trick you into saying that it's okay to willfully engage in these things. The Lord wants to break that area that we've been blinded by. The devil, he loves to blind us and say, you went to the altar one time or however many times and you got saved. You can basically live as you want. You have a ticket to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord does cover all of our sins, but may he give us a heart to live an obedient life toward him, a heart that desires to be on fire for him, not lukewarm, as was talked about this morning in our meeting, not that lukewarm lifestyle of living in sin and living in the devil's prison. But through all this, the Lord has given me a burden and a desire to see other people in the body of Christ set free, not just in the body of Christ, but as was talked about this morning, if he can start here in the body of Christ, then we can go out and be the light we need to be, share the gospel better. And I used a funny illustration this morning, but if you imagine our emblem, the Midnight Cry, there's two trumpets like this. And it's our responsibility, the Lord has given us that, to sound the alarm of the Midnight Cry, that he's coming back. But imagine Donald over here wrapped up in chains and in bondage. How can he play that trumpet? We can't do it. But I'm telling you right now, with Christ, all things are possible. He's the one that can set us free and do this work. But let's see here. Yeah, the Lord does cover all of our sin. I'm sorry, I went there already. The Lord is giving me this burden that Christ can set free people from strongholds, addictions, bondages, chains, spiritual chains, anxieties. If you're here this morning and you have an anxiety, or if you're having panic attacks or fears, depression, insomnia, lust, immorality, idolatry, and even areas of disease and pain, I know he can heal. The Lord, it's not our power, but it's the Lord's power. In 1st or 2nd Timothy, it talks about how things will be in the end. And it says that people will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let's not deny that power anymore. The Lord wants to move in this place. Let's surrender to him, to that move. Let the Holy Spirit lead us. You know, Phil said recently, we can just keep coming to church. We can follow a form. We can just go along and eventually just die. Not be set free, not be healed. And the Lord doesn't want that. And I thought about with the lukewarmness there, how we can have 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church. The Lord wants us to be on fire, both feet with him in the church. And I thought about like two boats. Imagine you have 1 foot over here, 1 foot over here. Those boats start taking off. You better make a decision where you're going to be. You can't be lukewarm for long. Imagine there's sharks down there or something. I mean, it's funny, but it's serious. May the Lord's heart come across in this. I'm certainly not in a ditch where I believe that every cold or sickness that we get is to be, you know, healed and that's it. I don't believe the Lord has shown me that. But he has shown me that if you're dealing with disorders, things that the doctor will label on you, and medications, that you don't have to be on those. He can set you free from those things. There's cancers. Young people are having cancer. This day and age. The Lord, he can heal those. And he can use other people to do it in the body of Christ. Because Christ said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I believe the Lord has helped me grow spiritually through the trials and sickness I've had in my life. I had a back surgery in 2016, and those types of trials helped me to look to him and in my time of need. So I don't want it to sound like we're never supposed to go through a sickness. Well, the word says in Matthew 10:7, go proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And my thought there that the Lord revealed to me is that though this was written then, and they said the kingdom of heaven is near, I was talking about Jesus, but it's talking about the spirit that was in him. And did he not say when he was getting ready to leave this world, it'll be good that I go because I'll send the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. That's how the kingdom of heaven is still near here with us, because he sent that to us. Jesus Christ is here today through the Holy Spirit, and he holds the keys to your freedom. Look to him, trust him, seek him, take whatever steps that he wants you to take in order to be set free from the devil's prison. And don't put it off any longer. We need to be lights in this dark world. We're running out of time in a way. The Lord's, he's on time. He's not going to let a one that's his, you know, it's the get away. He's got them. But do we not have loved ones in our family that we wish we could go to and see them set free? We're praying for them from a distance, but if the Lord will empower us, we can have that strength through him to go to those people. In Joshua 3, the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground, but they had to first take a step of faith into that river before the waters split and the dry ground appeared. There's a scripture there in Joshua 3, and it says, this in verse 3, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. They're talking about following the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord wants us to move out from where we are, this bondage that we're in. We can only do it through him. And it says, and then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. This move of God that he wants to do in this church may look like something we've never been through before. Now, I wasn't here in the 60s, but I know we're not going to recreate that, but the Lord can do something like that if he wants. I know he wants to. Are we willing to take the step of faith? And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. He wants to do amazing things here. Let's turn ourselves over to his spirit. And then in verse 8, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Notice they didn't stand back and say, Jordan River, open. There's no magical word. But the Lord wanted them to take that step of faith into there. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and it piled up in a heap a great distance away. The Lord's calling us to cross the Jordan River in this time. Are we going to take that step of faith, or are we going to keep living in the devil's prison? The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all of Israel by until the whole nation had completely crossed on the dry ground. So once the veil is removed and the demonic oppression is cleansed from our lives, we can see the spiritual battle that we're in and recognize the importance of putting on that armor daily. We still have struggles even after the Lord delivers us, but it's a different kind of struggle. The Lord has shown me that we should figuratively apply his blood to our homes, to our hearts, our bodies, our children. And the Lord reminded me of how the Israelites applied the blood in their homes in Egypt in Exodus 12:13. And where the blood was applied, the plague of death passed over. If we apply Christ's blood to our hearts once he's cleaned us up, the spirits can't come back in. And I pray that every night over our home, and he's answering that prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. That song that we sing. The Lord is calling us out of darkness. It's time to wake up from our slumber. The hour is late. With the Lord's help, we can be a people set apart from the world, not having that one foot in the world, one foot in the church, as I did for so long. How can we help others how can we be instruments of God if we're bound up in chains? It's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. And he longs to set his people free. Cry out to him. The world, so that we can go out into the world and share the gospel, share our testimony of the Lord's goodness. That's why the only reason I'm here this morning is to share my testimony of his goodness, his mercy, his grace toward me. He took me from the bottom of that pit, as I've said before, and he set me on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. We can help others to receive salvation and freedom from bondages. And I know ultimately the Lord does that work, but he can use us as channels. I tried many times to be set free on my own, but I needed God's power. I know that not everyone will have this same testimony in the same way, but the Lord works in mysterious ways, and his ways are not our ways. I know what it's like to be in bondage. I know what it's like for God's power to set me free. I know he will set others free here as well. I thank the Lord for all his promises, for all he's done in my family, and for all he'll continue to do for the body of Christ as we look to him. My testimony isn't going to be the only one. Lord, I believe he's spoken that. There's going to be others that have a similar testimony of how you can be freed. May the Lord get all the glory and praise for this testimony. I'm just an unworthy vessel that has been chosen by God to share his goodness through. I only desire to be in God's will and to share the hope and freedom he's given me in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, work in hearts this morning, God. Lord, help people to see the seriousness, the reality of these spirits, this demonic oppression that can come upon a person, Lord. Lord, I pray against the spirits this morning that are here in this church, keeping people in prison. Lord, I know in due time those spirits are going to be gone, Lord. Lord, reveal to people that this is a real thing, that we need you, Lord. Lord, let me always keep you the center in this church. But may we desire to be set free, whatever means that looks like. I did have Joel read the scripture this morning that's been on my heart for a while now, but it's in Revelation 3. I'm going to go there briefly. There's quite a bit here to unpack, and I don't claim to know how to do that. I can't, but Christ can share to hearts what needs to be shared through this. And in chapter 3, halfway down in verse 1, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And isn't that the case for us, people that don't necessarily go to church, or they look at us, our lives, they look at the things we put on social media, And they know that we go to a church and they think, you're alive, but you know, you can be here and Christ really not be the center. There can be spirits behind you. There can be spirits blocking your ears from hearing, spirits blocking your eyes from seeing the spiritual truth that's coming forth. Lord, give us a heart to wake up. We can't do it in ourselves. I've already mentioned that several times. But the Lord can wake us up. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. But if you don't wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. The Lord's coming back. May he free us. We don't have to live here in these chains. And then in verse 14, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. In other words, Jesus Christ. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and don't need a thing. And that right there, that could be that you are trying to check the religious boxes. You're coming to church, you're tithing, etc. You're giving to the poor. But we need Christ to come in and make the difference. He's the only one that can stand in between us and the Lord and give us that gateway to the Lord. Says, I counsel you. I'm sorry, let me go back to 17. You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and don't need a thing, but you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And that's all of us. All of us. We are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked unless Christ steps in. Praise God that he does step in, that he's still stepping in today. We read about the miracles that happened back in when Christ was on the earth, but that can still happen here. Let's have faith. Let's reach out, cry out to the Lord for these things in our midst. The word says, I'm going to try to quote it, but it says that we should earnestly desire the gifts, I believe. Well, let's look to the Lord for those gifts. There's people in our midst that are hurting. There's people in this community that are hurting for sure in the world. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. That's those chains being broken. That salve. The Lord will give you that salve so you can see what's going on around us. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Is the Lord knocking on your heart this morning? He knocked on mine for a long time, but it took the power of God before I was able to really open that door and shut the other ones. By his grace, though, it says here, if anyone hears my voice and opens that door, notice he's not going to barge in. He wants us to have the faith, that step of faith, to open the door to him. I will come in and I'll eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. And then here, whoever has ears, and I think my brother had said before, it looks like all of you have ears. Let's listen to what the Spirit's saying. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Don't listen to me, but listen to Christ. It's his heart, I pray, I trust, I believe. For me, it was. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know step A to B and what that looks like for this church. I don't know what the bondage to freedom looks like. But I know if we look to Christ, he's going to reveal it in his time. Let's start looking to him.
I figure I better get out of that pew quick, so I didn't even put on my shoes. Jesse, wherever you went, there you are. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I know it's the Lord, but thank you for trusting him and getting up here, because that's powerful, and I appreciate it. And I guess I learned something today that I didn't I guess in theory you know stuff because you read about it. But a testimony to me sometimes is it speaks my language, which sometimes just talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Because get too wordy and I get kind of cross-eyed. But we all know there's salvation. We know that what that is. And I guess I never thought about the difference between salvation and deliverance. I mean, when we're saved, we're delivered. But we can be saved and not be delivered, obviously. And I appreciate that. And he didn't spell that out specifically, but that's what I got in my mind. And maybe that's because where I've been for a couple of years. And my mind is kind of blown, and in a good way. And I appreciate that. And I've had some stuff going on with me. I mean, Jesse was talking about all the issues and dysfunctions and whatever people can have. And there's the stuff that all us ladies go through when we get of a certain age. And I'm really tired of people, the doctors, well, you're of a certain age. And I'm like, no, I really don't want to go there. And I explained it to one of my doctors one time that, like with the perimenopause stuff, I'll just say it, and hormones and all that. And I told my doctor, she was asking me what my signs and symptoms are and all this and that and the other. And I said, well, I feel like I fell out of the perimenopause tree and I've hit every branch on the way down. And there's branches being symptoms and this and that and the other. And almost 3 years into this now, I feel like that tree actually reaches heaven and it has many, many branches. And it plays ping pong with me sometimes. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I guess I didn't realize, I mean, you realize things to a certain point until somebody like Jesse shares something and it just clicks. And in this fall of 2020, not like 2020 was bad enough as it was with all this stuff going on, I started dealing with hormonal-driven depression. And that stuff is no joke. And it's not like regular kind of depression, which I've dealt with in the past. I didn't even know what this was. And I just knew that something was going on. And actually, I didn't even know what was going on at first. I had no clue. I just knew I didn't feel good. And since then, I've pretty much come out of that. But the things that we can deal with, the things that can keep us in bondage, the things that we can need deliverance from are not always physical. I still have all the physical stuff, and it's hard. But for me, it's been the mental side of, it's like I've told Jeff so many times, my get up and go didn't just get up and leave. It's like the saying goes, my get up and go got up and went. Mine crashed and burned somewhere because it hasn't come back. That's so difficult. It's hard to not, I don't even know how to explain it really, but just to not have a sense of anything or a feeling for anything or a motivation for anything or whatever, anything. Not just coming to church, but anything at home, whatever. Which is unusual for me because I used to run around like my butt was on fire. Like, I got to get stuff done. I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to do nothing now, honestly. And it's hard. And I believe, well, I guess I've known for a while, the enemy can play a part in that. I mean, the physical and mental stuff that we go through is real because of the way things are on this earth. we can't blame the devil for everything, like Phil has said many times. But that's not to say that he doesn't sneak in the door, like Jesse has said and Phil has said in these past services. And you don't even know he's there until you do, until he reveals it to you, until the Lord reveals it to you, because the devil ain't going to tell you nothing. He's not going to say, hey, I'm here, let's party, whatever. No, he's sneaky, and he hides in the shadows. And, yeah, I'm just asking for y'all to pray for me, because I want to be here on Sundays. There's sometimes I physically can't be. I'll get these headaches where I got to sit in the dark. I call it no lights and sirens days, where I can't, like, light and sound just chop my head off. That's the only thing that would give me relief. But I know there's sometimes I believe I can be here, but the devil just whispers. And so I don't show up. And I'm always on Zoom. But that's not the same. And if I can be here, I'd rather be here. So I'm just asking y'all to pray for me. And just to, I'm not asking to be 25 years old again. You couldn't pay me enough to go back to that, because all you got to do is live it once and realize that's it, I'm done. I just want to be free from this stuff. I mean, I'd like to be free from the hormonal stuff too, but God's going to take care of that in time. Doesn't last forever. Whether it goes away because of age or I die, eventually it goes away. So it's like somebody used to tell me, they were a medic in the military, all bleeding stops eventually. So you're either going to bleed out or somebody's going to fix it. So I really want to, I don't want to bleed out. I want to be healed from this. I want to be fixed from this, whatever. And I know that the Lord has allowed this to happen to show me things that I can't really put into words right now, because I was not planning on this at all, but I had to get up and say something after Jesse. And my mouth is so dry right now. I'm sorry. There's some water. But, excuse me. Some of this I haven't even articulated to my parents or Chris and Dorsey or sometimes even Jeff, because there's times you don't even know what to say. I mean, it's like you can't even wrap your mind around it for whatever reason. Maybe you just don't understand how you're feeling yourself, or sometimes it's the enemy keeping your mouth shut. Whatever it is, if there's something that you're dealing with, speak up. Like, if you can't tell your spouse or your sister or somebody, I mean, tell somebody and let them pray for you and pray with you. And that's something I haven't really done too much, just because, again, in the fog of war, sometimes I just haven't even known what to say. Which is strange, because there's sometimes Jeff is like, would you please be quiet? But that's about trivial things, I guess. But I just ask y'all to pray for me, and however the Lord wants us to go, that's how you know I want it to go. But I want to be here more. And I want to be with the body of Christ. And I know one of the things that I have missed was I used to send cards to people. Sometimes it'd be just random, or sometimes it would be just get well soon or whatever. And I really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed sharing things with people. On WhatsApp, my mom and her sisters and my sister, we have a little group called Encouragers, and I used to share stuff with them all the time there. And then at some point it stopped. I mean, it didn't just gradually trail off. It stopped. And I miss being an encouragement to somebody. And for the longest time, I'm like, why can't I do this? Why am I not like this? Why don't I think this way anymore? Why don't I feel this way anymore? Whatever. And I think it was a Jim Cimbala service recently, maybe the last 6 months, I'm not sure. I don't remember what the service was about even, but the Lord revealed to me that if he's not in me, I can't give that to other people for whatever, you know, and I want him in my heart again. I want to be on fire again for the Lord. And I miss that. But, Yeah. Sure. I don't know if anybody heard what Dave said, but he said, would I like the elders to pray for me? And yeah.
Yeah, like right now. We'll bear a second witness to that. Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't have really no idea exactly what I want to say. I appreciate the testimony. I think it was more than just a testimony. I think it was a burden of the Lord given to Jesse, delivered to us here today. And I want to... And I guess I just want to maintain focus on something. We always want to be careful. We don't want to be legalistic. And we don't want to be in a ditch. And we don't want to go seeking after signs. And we know that there's always caution in that. However, it's very easy to put aside some of the things that maybe seem more supernatural or not everyday worldly life that are normal in the house of God. I don't know if I'm making sense. I'm not prepared in any way. I just want to get back. Well, here's the scripture that came to me. I'd look it up. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 27. Therefore, who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. So, now you got to stop. Be careful here. Because Jesus healed Lazarus, right? But he died eventually. right? The point's not to end everything that could ever happen to us or live on this earth eternally. However, God help us not to just say, well, you know, I don't know. I guess my burden is I know of some things, first of all, specifically. I don't even have to go searching for the unknowns right now. So I want to go home and have an honest assessment and conversation with the Lord about some stuff. Stuff you already know. I would refuse to believe anybody else in here today doesn't have something they can go have a serious conversation with the Lord about. Now, you're careful then, well, again, like Jesse said, you know, well, I mean, am I going to be sinless perfection? No, that's not an excuse to go and indulge in every little thing that besets you either. And to ignore the stuff that we are aware of, you know, to say, well, this is just the way I am. Well, I think the Lord's tired of the way we are, and he's came here to change us. He's came here to change our soul. I shouldn't say it like that. Maybe that came out wrong. He's not. He knows what he's working with, and he knows what he's gotten into. You know what I'm saying? I know somebody say, you know, oh, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this earth? I don't know. I had the thought, well, how long is he going to put up with me? So I'm thankful for that, and let me have that same extended heart towards this world, even the ones that seem crazy and, I don't know, maybe, you know, whether they've been given over to a depraved mind, that's the Lord's business. I don't know that sometimes you even have the discernment. Still pray for them. Anyhow, I don't know. I don't want to ramble here. I just wanted to get back to that somehow. I believe that was fitting, and I know that we want to be careful. We don't want to do it in our own strength. It needs to be done, but the Lord has to initiate it, and he has to carry us through it. But I do believe there are key moments where we know that we have an active participatory part in this process. We never get the glory because we wouldn't have started it on our own, and we wouldn't have made it through on our own. We wouldn't have finished on our own. However, we are workers together with him, and in this process, let's make an honest assessment. And if there are things, there are activities to do or not do, let's not call that legalism and then just stay stuck in our rut for the rest of our lives, in chains, in that prison, never free. I want to call it out for what it is. I think sometimes I've had the burden to, and I need to hear, I need this said back at me, is you can say, well, we need to do this, and then you end up saying, oh, we got to have grace, and you can't do it, and it's never resolved. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I think there's a perfect will of God in a place where there is grace, but there is, get up. You know, what does it say? Get up, dust yourself off. Israel has sinned. You know, I don't know. I felt like there was an urgency to it, a clarity. I just appreciate your burden. We need wisdom in it. I have no idea, you know, as far as gifts of healing and stuff, but it is here. You know, it happened. It's real. And just because we haven't seen it on a regular, everyday basis, we're kind of being told that there's some reason stuff isn't. Now, we don't go seeking the sign, but I don't know. I don't want to be intimidated by seeing something different that we're not used to, because we've always let things in our lives block it from happening. I want to be available to let the Lord lead and not be scared to see his gifts in the body. I don't care what the world thinks. The gifts are the body for the body, and then to go out into the world and bring people to Christ. I want that. I want that burden, and I believe there's more to it. I don't want to go seeking after something, but I want to seek the Lord and his Spirit enough to be in a place where I could receive that gift, whatever it is. So.
I thank the Lord that he laid it on Jesse's heart to speak the things that he did. There was so much that different topics that moved me as Jesse was speaking, and I wasn't sure if I should come up here now until the brother just spoke, referenced 1 Corinthians 11, and then that was enough of a confirmation I knew, so praise God. And thanks for trying to get me the coffee this morning as well. So. Jesus said, those who have been forgiven much love much. And so I want to encourage us that if you've been wicked in the past, or there's something you need to be forgiven much now, you got a leg up. I mean, you have more capacity to love than those who may have not been required to have been forgiven much. And those who maybe in the fall in that category, you haven't been required to forgive much, I want to encourage you as well that if the Lord God is here and the wicked of sinners is here, of which Paul called himself the wickedest, the worst among sinners, then those who haven't been required to be forgiven much are not much higher than Paul. So we also, I believe, either way, have much capacity for love of the Lord. Let me switch to a different topic that Jesse talked about. And let me read Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God." I believe we're all here because we did. I believe we fulfilled that condition. Let me read on. "And wilt do that which is right in his sight." All right. I believe the Lord will give us the heart for that as well. "And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Have we met the conditions? Because if we've met the conditions, God will meet the response to those conditions. It's absolutely true based on the Word of God. I love Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Is there anyone here who believes if we repent and go to the Lord that he will not forgive all our iniquities? I don't see a hand. Praise God. We're in agreement. And the second part of that, "who healeth all thy diseases." It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. He's got it covered. Every single bit of it he has promised. And as sure as you are that he's forgiven your sins, we should be exactly the same assuredness that he's healeth all our diseases. Absolutely sure. Let me read one more on this topic. Praise God. It's my go-to. I find such encouragement from it in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus is performing many miracles. He's healing many sick people. And it says in verse 17, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." There's no doubt we have many recordings, many scripture of what Jesus did while he walked the earth. And I believe the Lord wants to remind us that he's the same yesterday, and he's the same today, and he's the same forevermore. That hasn't gone away. He is still, right now, taking our infirmities and he's bearing our sicknesses. All right, let me shift just for a second, if I could. Jesse, Lord used you so much this morning. I praise the Lord for this. I rarely hear in church or from believers about what the brother talked about in 1 Corinthians 11. "Judge yourselves so that ye not be judged." Now let me just turn to it, so I don't want to misquote here. 1 Corinthians 11. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Praise God he does that for us. Praise God he does that for us. Now I've got to ask all of us, all of you, all of me, let's say that happens. Let's say we're chastened of the Lord. It could be a physical issue. It could be a mental issue. It could be an emotional issue. It could be any kind of issue. How many of us have discernment that this may actually be a judgment upon us from the Lord and are chastened of it? Our brother said, first examine yourself. That's the first thing. And I realize if there's anything wrong with me, mentally, physically, emotionally, I've got to look inward first to see if there's anything to be judged. But we have a solution, praise God. Jesus always is the solution. And he has every solution. So in Hebrews chapter 12 is the solution. I'll start in verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as sons, as with sons. Praise God, he cares enough for us. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I've got two wonderful boys out here. You better believe if they're in the wrong, I'm going to chasten them. Wouldn't you all fathers? Amen. For their benefit, not because I really want to, but for their benefit. Let me go on to verse 10. For they, meaning us fathers, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, meaning God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Don't you want that? Now, no chastening for this present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I think we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So our God's encouragement here is that, one, we examine ourselves, and two, if we find something wanting, well, we enter into this righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. And the conclusion of all this in verse 12 is, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. I can't tell you how many believers in Jesus Christ I've seen hands that hang down. And the feeble knees. If any of us have a feeble knee, let's examine ourselves, okay? Because God promises here, if we're exercised thereby, he'll do his part. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen.
Amen.
Makes me know I'm not alone. And as I'm listening to my brothers and sisters and their words, my eyes fell on Psalm 6. Open your Bibles to Psalm 6. In my Bible, it's labeled A Prayer for Mercy. For the music director on an 8-string lyre, a Psalm of David. Adonai, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Adonai, for I am weak. Heal me, Adonai, for my bones are shuddering with fear, as is my soul. And you, Adonai, how long? Turn toward me, Adonai, deliver my soul, save me because of your mercy. For there is no memory of you in death. In Sheol, who will praise you? I am worn out with groaning. Every night I make my bed swim, drenching my pillow with tears. My eyes are weakened with grief. They age because of my enemies. Away from me, all you evildoers, for Adonai heard the sound of my weeping. Adonai has heard my cry for mercy. Adonai accepts my prayer. May all my enemies be ashamed and stricken with terror. May they be turned back in sudden disgrace. Amen and amen. And for these blessed children, this one was brought to my attention Wednesday night, I think at an appropriate moment. This was a prayer for sleep in peace, a prayer for sleep in shalom, prayer for Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, God of my righteousness. You set me free when I am in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and pursue falsehood? Selah. But know that Adonai has set apart the godly for his own. Adonai will hear when I call to him. Tremble, but do not sin. Search your heart while on your bed and be silent. Selah. Offer righteous sacrifices and put your trust in Adonai. Many are asking, who will show us some good? May the light of your face shine upon us, Adonai. You have put joy in my heart, more than their grain and new wine overflow. I will lie down and sleep in shalom, for you alone, Adonai, make me live in security. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank God for all of you and your witness in my life.
I just wanted to give a public expression of gratitude to our Lord and Savior this morning. I think we can speak for us, I can speak for us all. I had the thought come to me when we were singing in the choir too, but we have so much to be thankful for, you know. And you had to, excuse me, I had to get down for a migraine and my head's still hurting a little bit. But we have so much to be grateful for, you know. Christ, you know, he shed his blood to pay for our sin, and he paid that debt, and he gave us the key to freedom. And I'm just so thankful for Jesse's testimony. He shared that with me before, so I appreciate you sharing it with me again and with this body and for taking that step of faith and setting the example for everybody here. And, you know, there's such power in testimony, especially whenever we can see what God has done clearly through people. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for freeing us and for giving us your teachings and for living a life here on this earth to be with us and to get in the fight with us, Lord, and to encourage us. And, Lord, for your death that paid the cost for our sin and paid the way for our freedom. Lord, we love you. We thank you for, I just want to thank you for this family. Thank you so much for this family. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.